Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts and a various sundry of things that may or may not be in the world of mixed martial arts, as this was yet another interesting week.
Are there any hearings right now?
There are no hearings, but I will be the first person to say this, and that is that this show is not, and I repeat, not sponsored by Fight Pass. However, I will tell you that it is worth $9 a month to watch those hearings. If they just made that into a show, I did give them $9 a month just to watch this hearing, and it was worth every single penny of it.
Well, last week, you know this, Eric, I took my family to Ringling Brothers, and and to take my family to Ringling Brothers cost, you know, around like $60.
Right.
I saw a circus for $9.99 a month at the NAC hearings, because those guys are getting out of a clown car and acting like clowns when they get in there. I still can't believe these guys supposedly know anything about... Here's the bonus we got as MMA fans. We got to see the Floyd Mayweather hearing before that. Did you watch any of that?
So you had texted me that it was on. I'd actually forgot it was on, so I caught when that was all over and then watched the Jones... Cormier, he must be new to the UFC.
Yeah, who's Cormier?
And then Vanderlei Silva. But yes.
My favorite part of the NAC guys is the guys who don't realize or don't care that their mics are still on. When they talk to each other, for some reason, those mics go, "What is this guy's name again? I can still hear you, bro." I can still hear you. You're like you're the president, you're the head of, I don't know. Nobody was asking real questions. We can talk about the punishments in a minute, but man, they love some fighters, don't they, at the NAC?
They certainly do. They started being super cordial to Floyd Mayweather, and they were talking to him specifically about the all-access show that he does on Showtime and whether or not it was authentic.
And one of the reasons being is because they did these things, I forget what they call them, doghouse rounds or something?
Yes.
That's basically a 30-minute round, which is very illegal. Especially in boxing.
Yes.
Especially in boxing where guys are getting hit in the head and you got to go for 30 minutes. And basically, they would ask Floyd a question. Floyd would answer. They'd go, that's not really a good answer. You're going to have to get penalized for that. How about what maybe you were trying to do was make it for TV so that it'd be, that's exactly what I was trying. That's what I thought. Thanks, Floyd. Thank you for cashing your checks here in Vegas, and we'll see you on the way out. Grab your swag bag.
Yeah. So when that circus concluded, you thought, okay, well, that was a little odd.
But Floyd makes him $8 billion a month.
Floyd makes him $8 billion a month, and if you've ever had a conversation with Mr. Ellerby, you kind of know that that is essentially the theme of that camp, right? Like they're constantly trying to do new things, and some of these things teeter on some ground that you may have to answer for.
Allegedly betting on the fights that are happening right in the training center.
Whatever you want to say. But, yeah, some of those things walk up to lines that you may have to answer a question or two. That said, he brings a kajillion dollars into the city of Las Vegas, so he got to pick up his T-shirt and Infinity scarf and head out the door after his thing.
Those swag bags are awesome in Vegas.
They are awesome. And then up next was Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. But clearly Cormier is a very difficult word for them to say because half of the members called him Cormier, like gourmet with a C. I don't know.
I don't think they were necessarily even being unfair to either of those fighters. I thought they were on Jon Jones very hard compared to what we just saw with Floyd Mayweather before.
Yes.
And I did see a couple of friends of the show and basically a general consensus on Twitter is like, hey, would somebody tell them how much UFC makes for them, because they don't seem to be giving Jon Jones the leeway they gave Floyd. And I don't even think they necessarily had to. But if you're going to do that with Floyd, they beat up on Jon a little, but then they came around just like they do. Well, Jon, would you say you're really not you're going to do this ever again? You promise? Pinky swear? I pinky swear. All right. Well, let's confer and see what we do here.
I believe the phraseology was, because they repeated it when they were talked to Daniel Cormier, was,
Is it my understanding that your intent is to fight again in the city of Las Vegas?
I think Cormier's answer was funny there. Yeah, I'm actually licensed by this commission. He was trying not to be a jerk about it because, they still haven't handed down their ruling. Every time I see them, it's nuts. Do we want to do this in parts here where we talk about the Cormier and John Jones punishments? Were they fair? Were they not? I thought it was very interesting that John Jones was able to throw into what is a legal proceeding. Perjury rules apply. I lost something else, too, I can't really talk about, but it's there. Oh, you lost another sponsorship? What was it? Rather not say. All right, we'll believe you, John. Thanks. How much did you lose in that Mikey deal? Really can't say. Laura's like, well, if a legal body compels us to, I really don't want to say. All right, John, don't say. we'll think about that, though, as we move ahead here with your deals.
Which was funny because as you're going through, if this was your first time to watch a commission, they do a very good job of repeating the fact that perjury rules apply. This is just like any other court of law, so forth and so on. Parliamentary rules of procedure happen here with motions and agreeing and not agreeing. And then you see stuff like that. All right, man, that's cool. I got Nikes on. Does that help you?
Right.
It doesn't help you? All right, no big deal. And then they hand down the fine, which I thought was okay.
I didn't mind it because it was a nice bite, and it ended up being even, and the commissioners went back and forth on that as if they couldn't figure out math. With these things, it's always like five people and one guy. I would love to be on a commission because I feel like if you or I were on the commission, we'd just get to decide everything because, there's everybody right. talking, and then they're all out of the butts with the talking, and then the one guy at the end goes, hey, I know he probably lost some commissions and some deals and stuff like that, but maybe we should make this even, just make it a 10% of what he did. And then I think your time's valuable, so why don't you do community service? All right, that sounds great. I'm glad somebody was thinking today. So we end up with 10%.
So it's $50,000 to John Jones and 40 hours of community service.
Mm-hmm.
And then he apologizes and does what he's supposed to do, and he's out the door.
He called it the mixed or the blessing in disguise, is that he's going to have to work with people. I tweeted back. John didn't answer.
Really?
How is that disguised? I guess silver lining would have been appropriate there. I guess that's what he was trying to say. but it was the blessing in disguise that he gets to work with children out of all this. So thank you, John Jones, humanitarian.
So then up next is Daniel Cormier, and there is a commission member whose last name is Brady, who might be the dullest light bulb in the commission box.
I think he's in charge of it, too.
Who may or may not be in charge of it. Calls Daniel Cormier Mr. Cormier the entire proceeding and wants to know about his collegiate wrestling.
Right, as if he hit other collegians in the head with chairs.
With steel chairs. And was employed by Vince McMahon at one point. So during his wrestling career, did he get in any scraps with young bucks in the locker room or things like that? And I'm paraphrasing, but not too much, actually. In the end of that, there's some fun stories. They clearly like Daniel Cormier.
It was fun. We got to talk about it. We had some jokes. It was all nice.
Fought a kid from Iran, which was poor timing since it was Gulf War.
Oh, well, you beat up an Iranian. We don't care.
Right.
We're the NAC.
We hate the terrorists. He was a wrestler. He wasn't a terrorist.
Yeah,
okay,
we hate
whatever.
Him.
And so then they had to
Very
have
strange.
They had to have another discussion about the punishment because they were literally going to give Daniel Cormier a $50,000 fine. And the one resounding person of reasons like whoa,
because John was set to make about $500,000.
So okay,
Daniel
right.
Cormier was set to make about 90 grand
total.
That's a big difference.
Yes.
So not only that, but there was some consensus from what I took from the commission that they buy the argument, which was mine, that whether or not it had been common or had been done before, the contact was initiated by John Jones.
Yes, and so to reset for a second, Cormier's version of this story took a little bit longer because he did not comply and said that it was self-defense. He didn't just outright admit I was wrong. He did take responsibility for his mm-hmm. portion of it, but wanted to add the caveat that I was responding in self-defense. So his portion took a little bit longer as they tried to weed out what that meant. And mm-hmm. whether or not they were going to buy it. It turns out they sort of bought it. He got 10%, which turned out to be $9,000.
Right.
And then only 20 hours of community service.
And that was half the time because apparently Jones initiated contact.
Yes.
So I was hoping we'd see some type of definitive, and we still could. I don't know if those guys ever get together outside of work. They probably don't, that NAC. I think we need to.
They barely get together at work.
Well, we didn't. Did we decide anything? I don't think we decided anything there. We didn't codify a thing about these weigh-ins. First off, the one guy thought it was a weigh-in the whole time, so he thought they were fighting the next day, which I think changes your dynamic immeasurably.
Sure. Yes.
Immeasurably than if you're at a media appearance months in advance in the middle of a MGM Grand lobby. So I was a little bit surprised. I know you tweeted at me wondering if we'd get that no touching. Once I saw the Floyd thing, I didn't think we'd get anything out of that. I'm surprised we got the punishments we got. I don't have a problem with the punishments. I still think a guy like Dana White as a promoter or Golden Boy might want to look at this. And obviously Floyd Mayweather Productions falls under this umbrella.
Sure.
If you're fighting a guy, you can't touch a guy or I'm going to dock you 10%. I'm going to know going in. You're not going to go through the clown show
now,
that is this NAC hearing to get your 10% docked. I'm going to do it because I don't want anybody touching, hurting themselves before you have to get on pay-per-view. We just had another pay-per-view wrecked, which we're going to get to. We're talking about Chris Weidman here.
Yes.
And that wasn't a weigh-in thing,
no.
But that could have happened very easily at this Cormier-John Jones melee that happens in the lobby of the MGM Grand.
Now, as a reminder, the UFC now at this point can levy their own punishment of whatever they feel because mm-hmm. both men did in fact violate the code of conduct by being a contracted employee to the UFC at that moment. So you may still see some codification just from the UFC as opposed to whatever this thing is that's a governing body in the state of Nevada.
Yeah, what's weird too is that we're going to follow them, and we're going to get more into that when we talk about Vanderlei in a minute. But essentially, everybody is beholden to that commission because of how many fights are there. And,
yes,
and there's whatever we see on the stream and on Fight Pass and how ridiculous it seems to us. We still have to recognize their rulings, or else you would just have guys running around the country fighting that, you know, running away from tests like we saw with Vanderlei fighting. So, as weird as that is, all these other commissions, they look at each other. That's why California, that's why a lot of UFC guys don't necessarily like California, because if they get popped bad, everybody knows it's a little bit of a clown show there, too. But everybody's going to recognize that all around the country.
Yes.
So, you've got to be. You've got to be respectful of the commissions. I think UFC is going to be respectful of this decision in a way where these guys aren't going to get punished anymore. But I wouldn't be surprised if somebody says, hey, if you walk through any of our promoters or do something, like, and that essentially in this case it was Dave Scholler.
Dave Scholler, yeah.
If you walk
Who,
through
at
our
At one point they were going to find him.
Right, because they thought he did something. You really should have kept track of this like Dana White does. What? I was standing like he's going to stop either of those dudes ever. The UFC could easily say, hey, if you walk through our guys, you're going to get 10%. If you touch each other, you're going to get 10%. I don't want to see this. You know, UFC and NAC both have a vested interest in letting these fights sell for as much as they can sell for, but you're going to have to weigh that against whether or not this could have been very bad. It didn't go bad this time. This could have been very bad. A cameraman, somebody in the lobby.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That was one
a
point.
Fan, anything.
And Cormier made that point. He, there's people checking into the hotel. John Jones, I think, acknowledged that as well. There's a lot of things that could have gone really, really bad in this instance, especially at a media appearance.
But what is interesting, Ken, is then we go to the final point of business of the day, at least as far as we're concerned.
And I miss most of the Vanderlei stuff,
which,
so you can fill me in.
Which, okay, so we go to this point, right, which Vanderlei Silva runs out of a test. And
mm-hmm.
this is finally his hearing to talk about what happens to Vanderlei Silva when you run out of a test. And now you see a different commission. While they have their moments.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular instance, one member who helped arrange the defense to this charge recuses herself from making a decision, comes back in to kind of give, because she knows, well, she knows more than the current gentleman who's in charge, so she comes back in to kind of...
Well, that was my favorite part. I need to recuse myself. Well, first off, why are you helping somebody put together a brief in front of this commission?
Fair enough.
Let's not give them too much credit, Eric. I'm going to recuse myself here. But hold on, here's what I have to say.
Here's how you're actually supposed to do this, which did happen. That said, a guy like Vanderlei had clearly crossed a line that you may not cross back over, because it was 7 minutes. They talked to Vanderlei's representative who...
Vanderlei did not show up, nor did he accept an offer to show up via teleconference.
Via teleconference. So there was 4 minutes of them being like, I don't understand. So he's doing something, but he couldn't pick up the phone. And the guy's like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's doing something. But you told him he could call. I did tell him you could call. And he's not calling. He is not calling. Okay, and you do not want to respond to our new ruling on this. We have turned in what we are going to say about this, myself and Mr. Vanderlei.
Well, you could tell that Vanderlei put his lawyer or his representative into a spot there that
yes.
guy didn't even enjoy being in.
Well, because he didn't want... I guess you have 18 days once they changed the ruling to respond, and they didn't want to do that. They just wanted to get it over with. And what get it over with means is that Vanderlei Silva receives a lifetime ban from fighting in Las Vegas. Essentially means that he is done fighting.
Well, he is done fighting. I found this interesting. I don't think you watched it, but I watched the Overeem hearing a couple years back.
I did not.
That was some dude on a Ustream, and I must have been really bored that day.
But I did not watch it.
It was interesting because you had a little bit of both situations here, where you had one where the commission doesn't take well with you missing tests or leaving.
No.
And they let Alistair know that in his. And if you'll remember, he said his mother was sick. That's why he went back to Holland.
Yes.
And that's why he wasn't there for the test that the commission had asked him to take. And he was really sorry. They gave it to him. Really good about that. They did not like that. The commission does not like when you are not submissive to their authority there. You can tell that's something that angers them. But with the Alistair thing, they smacked him around a little bit. They didn't like it, but then they started talking about when he would fight again and what the suspension should be. And if you'll remember, he was injured already, and he only got 9 months. It was effectively, if he would have been perfectly on target, a 3-month suspension.
Sure.
It was a slap on the wrist for missing a drug test there. I think if Vanderlei would have just shown up, I think that commission, we saw it 3 times earlier with Floyd Mayweather, with Jon Jones, and Daniel Cormier. They might have given him a hard sentence. It might have been a year. But he wouldn't have been banned, and they wouldn't have been this angry. Now, a year to Vanderlei at this point, we keep saying it could be the end of his career. It sounds like it is now. I'm just really surprised that he didn't show up. You can't run from a test, and that's what they looked at it as. Not only did he run from that test, he ran from the commission. He wasn't going to get any leeway at that point.
Well, and so what I mean by he's done with fighting is obviously, as you said, they're beholden to this commission because they do so many fights in Las Vegas. There is no way that the UFC is going to rightly get somebody licensed under their umbrella that cannot fight in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Knowingly, I mean.
Yes, and there's a difference, too. And we'll go back. We'll probably talk about Vitor a little bit in the next segments or so, talking about the Weidman thing. But there's a little bit of a difference between a guy who doesn't get licensed and ends up fighting a lot in Brazil or fighting a lot in other countries and has never been in front of the commission and had an actual ruling.
Sure.
There's a difference where you're not sure, because we're still, I think Vitor's still looking at regulatory issues, even though his fight's done, and then they're trying to swap guys out. There's a difference between a guy who maybe won't get licensed to a guy who's had a ruling, and this ruling is bad for Vanderlei. I don't think the UFC is going to let him fight in Brazil just because he wants to fight in Brazil. Vanderlei knows that, too. He came out swinging, saying the UFC's been treating people bad and blah, blah, blah. I mean, a lot of things started coming out after this lifetime ban. You knew it was going to be ugly. I don't know if I knew it was even going to be this ugly, though.
Well, and what I didn't realize, obviously, is this is probably only the second time I've ever even listened, let alone watched a commission hearing, is how quickly they can then make a decision when, as you said, you have violated an unbreakable. Running from them and not submitting to their jurisdiction is the unbreakable. And they were quick, and they wanted to fine him, and I believe they ended up changing it. They gave him a lifetime ban, and then they wanted to fine him the $200,000 that he was to be paid for the fight that he was testing for.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up backing to about 50%, I believe. But
35%, which is... it was 200 grand, so 70,000. It's still a big fat fine for a guy who doesn't probably have another fights on the horizon.
So to that end, and they talked about that, is that they're not going to see that money because he doesn't need to fight again. So why does he need to pay the fine?
That's true. I'm not sure what recourse they have. I know Vanderlei's had a gym in Vegas though, and those guys licensed that. We know that from earlier in the hearings with Floyd, but
right.
Vanderlei's got a gym in Vegas, I believe, or he did for a while.
He did for a while. I don't know for sure that he still has it there. But $70,000, a lifetime ban. So he
said he's going to appeal.
Sure, he is.
You have to show up to appeal.
You have to show up to appeal, sir. You can't tweet your
answers.
That's
where we both went exactly there with no discussion in advance. But that's the problem, Vanderlei. You got to show up if you want to do these things.
Yes. So we will wait and see if there's an appeal. And if there is, I'm telling you, again, we're not sponsored by them. Give them $9 and watch this thing. It's the best. Kenny Florian and I were tweeting back and forth on Tuesday when it happened. I was just saying they should literally put this on Fox Sports 1 after Tough 20. They would. I mean, people would
be tuning in droves.
I never had more people tweeting at me looking for links and then okay with buying Fight Pass.
Yep.
I must have had, you know, half a dozen dudes. Some of them big dudes in MMA on Twitter didn't realize that the Fight Pass app was streaming these NAC hearings. Hey, man, where's that link? Shoot it back. Oh, it's on Fight Pass? And then I had two other guys. Oh, cool. Oh, need a credit card. I'll give them the $10.
And I did the same thing. You know, you and I have talked. I was going to hold off.
So this is why you bought it.
I was going to hold off until it got on Xbox One so I could watch it on a television. But I'm like, this is nuts. I will give you $10. So here's my $10. I would like to enjoy this. All right, when we come back, we got big stuff still to get to. Dominic Cruz joins us, and Eddie Alvarez makes his debut in the UFC. He will join us to talk.
And on the show.
And on the show. He will
That's what he's excited about.
He will talk about UFC 178, and we'll do it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. A big weekend in the UFC as UFC 178 hits pay-per-view, a stacked card. Even if you're not a super fan of everyone who's on here, a lot of amazing action and the return of Dominic Cruz. We've talked, it's been 3 years since Dominic has fought in the UFC. He's on the line right now. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good.
You sound a little on the tired side, my friend, but welcome back to the UFC. Can we officially say that? It's been a long 3 years and an amazing comeback for you. My first question has to be, how did you stay this positive over the course of this thing? Because when you look at your story, it seems like most people would have been like, I don't even know how this is going to turn out, and would not have been in the place that you're in right now as we head towards Saturday night.
You know, I didn't know how things were going to turn out. And there's a lot of times I wasn't Mr. Positive and I wasn't happy. And I feel like if I don't share that side of things also, this entire time that I've been out would be wasted if I didn't tell the truth to everybody that I hit my lows just like anybody else. I hit my down and outs where I wanted to just, you know, just run into a hole and feel like just losing myself, you know? But staying positive and focusing on other people around me, changing the focus from myself and my own issues to helping other people around me and, you know, charity stuff and just doing what I can to help others really took the pressure off of myself and my own circumstances and kept me in a positive place to get through it. That's how I got through it. I just really focused on the others around me that I could help.
And not to overstate this, because I don't want to make it seem like this was a huge thing, but it felt like when you watch you on Fox Sports 1, that might have also been another outlet that would have kind of given you a way to continue to be involved in the sport in some way. Would that be true?
Yeah, that'd be 100% true. That was a strategy that I realized the first time I did it. I just got that position by getting a chance at it, getting a crack at it, and when I did it the first time, I said, I got to find a way to keep doing this because this just made me feel it felt right. So I kept doing it, and I transferred my energy from winning titles over to that for a period of time, and that really kept me alive in the sport.
Well, and I can tell you were brilliant at it, so I'm glad that you have taken to it and really enjoyed it. And obviously, another thing that you can add to the repertoire as you go through this. But Saturday night, Mizugaki is ahead of you at UFC 178. Talk a bit about how camp went and how excited you are to make this happen on Saturday night.
Camp went really well. This is one of the few camps I didn't get hurt in. So I'm happy about it. I feel good. Everything went smoothly. It was a 3-round camp. I got an extra pound. I was like, man, this is it's a trip. I haven't fought 3 rounds since early 2010, and I got an extra pound for this. So I feel like it's been a gift to be here and to get back in there. And Mizugaki's a very tough customer. He's no easy guy to beat up, but I got to go in there and showcase what I can do, and I'm looking forward to it.
And, Dominic, when you look at this card, I mean, I know there's been some people on the Internet, because that's what the Internet's for, that kind of dump all over cards like this. But this thing is stacked from beginning to end. I mean, there are people that are going to go, why is Dominic Cruz not, you know, in a better slot, whatever they feel that is. But your slot, I feel, is one of the most important because it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the night. I'm very excited about that fight. You've got Conor McGregor. You've got Demetrius Johnson. It's an amazing night of fights on Saturday night.
Yeah, I look at it like I'm the leadoff hitter in a baseball lineup, you know? I'm the one starting everything up. And I look forward to going out there and doing that, setting the tone for the rest of the card. And I know it's going to be a great card. All the people that want to slam on this card, that's just because they want to slam on something. There's no way to hate on the competitors that are on this pay-per-view event or the card in general, really, because it's been put together very strategically. And it's an awesome card. You know, the main event's going to be sick. You got Cerrone and Alvarez. That's going to be awesome. And then everything else. I mean, Conor McGregor and Poirier, that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the whole card. I can't wait to get done with my fight, get a win, take my hand wraps off, take my gloves off, put my feet up on a chair, and watch the entire main card.
Dominic, when you look at a guy like Demetrius Johnson, obviously you beat him. When you see what he's done in the time that you've been away, what do you feel about his career since the time that he fought you? Because when I watched that fight, I thought to myself, that was an amazing fight. That guy drops down 10 pounds, you just give him the title, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Demetrius kind of found his way fighting me. That's something that I can really appreciate. I know what it's like to lose. It sucks. It's hard to not lose in this sport, man. It's such an up-and-down sport. There's so many good fighters in it. And Demetrius, to me, is pound-for-pound one of the best on the planet. He's unbelievable talent. He's extremely fast. He mixes up his transitions better than anybody. He's always improving. He's very determined, very focused, very hungry, and very consistent. And that's what we need for a champion in this sport. He's extremely active. He doesn't get hurt. He takes good care of his body. He's a family man. What else could you want from a champion than Demetrius Johnson? And he goes out there and puts a show on for the fans every single time. You're never going to see him get tired. You're never going to see him lay and pray. All you're going to do is see 125,000% from Demetrius Johnson when he goes out and fights. So to hear anybody say that he doesn't deserve a main event slot, to hear anybody say that, you know, he's not one of the best in the world, is just, they need to slap themselves.
Well, yeah,
'cause the guy is no joke. He's very good, and what he's done after fighting me has done nothing but impress me. I'm very impressed with DJ.
UFC 178, it is this weekend on pay-per-view. You're facing off with Mizugaki. You said he's a tough customer. What, and I know fighters hate doing this, but it's a rare chance that you get to kind of restart what you've done after 3 years. You've said it a couple times this week. You're still the champ, and you feel that, and I think that's obviously the way that you should feel. What do you think you're going to do next? Is it directly to the title shot after Saturday night, or what do you do?
You know, what I said actually is not that I'm still the champ, because I'm not. You can't. If I was the champion, I'd have the belt around my waist. So what I said is, I believe that I am of championship essence. I believe that I am still that good to be the champion, without a question in my mind. So that's what's going to happen. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to get this fight done with Mizugaki, because that's all I need to worry about right now. I don't need to worry about fighting for a title. I don't need to worry about fighting for the number one position yet. I need to worry about getting through Mizugaki, man. This guy is no joke. And no matter what the odds are, it's not an easy fight. He's hard to finish. He's extremely durable, extremely tough. He comes in shape. I'm nervous for this fight, and I'm going to stay very focused for it.
Dominic Cruz joining us, UFC 178, taking on Mizugaki. As you said, a very tough customer and a brilliant fight to kick off a huge night of fights on pay-per-view. Dominic, like I said, great to have you back. Cannot wait to see you in the Octagon on Saturday night. Have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Thank you.
And from Dominic Cruz, we go to a newcomer in the UFC, one that we have been waiting for, honestly, for a long time. Eddie Alvarez makes his debut, taking on Donald Cerrone. He joins us right now. Eddie, how's it going?
I'm excellent, man.
First, let me be one of the 9,000 people to welcome you to the UFC. It has been a long time coming. We are glad to see you fighting at UFC 178 this weekend, taking on Donald Cerrone. You have said it in your own words, which, of course, makes it the best. This is an ideal for matchup for people to see you do your thing this weekend, right?
Absolutely. I think Donald, he's not the type of fighter to play for the judges. The guy goes for the finish. He takes some risks. I do the same thing, so... I think it's a fan-friendly matchup, man. I don't think the fans could ask for anything more.
And on a card, you know, where lots of media pundits have talked about this card and how, in my opinion, UFC 178 is one of two things to a various sundry of people. If you are into the fight game, you have waited a long time to be able to say Eddie Alvarez and the UFC. So fight fans are excited about this. Obviously, the other half is the Conor McGregor show. At the end of UFC 178, do you feel that people will have a great understanding of why we have been so excited to see you get into the UFC cage?
I do, man. I rarely disappoint not just the fans, but myself. I prepare to the point where I don't go in the cage with the doubt of losing, but I just want to win, but do it in a dominant fashion where I can wow the promoters, wow the judges, wow the fans. That's my job. I want to make it a near perfect performance, and that's what I prepare for.
And Eddie, so one of the interesting stats when you compare yourself to Donald Cerrone, in his UFC career, he's only been taken down 4 times. According to Fight Metric, you have a takedown percentage of 56%, which obviously makes the fight interesting. What makes it more interesting is your addition of Greg Jones to the camp. Can you talk a little bit about what happened to your wrestling over the course of this camp?
You know, Greg. Is different from other coaches. He's very hands-on. He will literally get in the cage with you and start wrestling for hours. The guy's unbelievable. So he's not in there pointing fingers and telling people what to do. The guy's in your face, and he's not only seeing the mistakes, but he's feeling them. So you grow very quickly. He is the most decorated collegiate wrestler of all time. So the guy knows what it takes to be a champion, and he's been a huge asset to the Black Zillions. And you know, for me, it's a great resource to have on a daily basis.
Eddie Alvarez joining us, UFC 178 this weekend on pay-per-view, taking on Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Lots of people talking about you. You even said it in the countdown show that while there may be some fans who aren't familiar with you, every fighter at 155 knows you. And Nurmagomedov has been talking about you. Is that flattering to you to know that guys have taken instant notice that your arrival means that you will be in title contention very, very shortly?
Yeah, man. The thing about guys talking out about title shots and things like that, I don't blame them. A lot of guys in this division, they've been working very hard. They've been working very hard at fighting each other, and I think that's why they've been so successful. I think with me in the mix, a lot of lightweights, they won't be as successful as they've been in the past, and I'm going to make sure of that.
Well, and what's interesting about 155, and we've talked about it on this show a number of times, is there's a lot of guys having to fight each other because you've had champs that have been out for long, extended periods of time. Pettis being one of them, hasn't really even defended his belt, will do it on December 6th, which makes it frustrating, I think, for some of these guys like Nurmagomedov who feel like they should have had a shot already.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in the fight game, and the title is great. But I've been a champion before a number of times. And when you become champion, you just don't fight as much. So so there's definitely benefits to being a champion of a promotion. But it does, for the fighter's fighter, you don't get to fight as much, man. And it's not all it's cracked up to be. But, it kind of does, put a hold up in the division. And I think as a champion, you need to get yourself out there and fight as often as the promotion wants you to.
So, Eddie, I'm not casting into the future. I'm just asking about your personal view on this sort of thing. Would you want, if you were champion, would you want to fight more than they normally do? Is that something that you would want to do?
I think I'd push the limits on, on the fight cap on what a champion normally does. You know, I'm more of a tournament fighter. I like fighting a lot. In a small period of time and then taking some time off. So, if I had it my way, I'd throw us all in a tournament and see who the man is.
I wish it was your way right now, actually. Eddie Alvarez is joining us, UFC 178 this weekend. A couple other interesting things going on. Spike TV counter-programming this weekend, your fights with Michael Chandler. Is that flattering to you to know that they obviously want to spotlight your fights on a weekend that you're fighting in the UFC?
I'm going to be like the Lord this weekend. I'm going to be omnipresent. I'm going to be all over the place. You know, one channel, the other channel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty cool. But, no, it's a good weekend for for the Alvarez brand, you know, as far as counter-programming, you know, that's the game, man. In this business, people, you know, they're playing the game, and I can't, you know, I can't be mad at anyone, you know. There's going to be a lot of my fights on TV, so.
Right. Why would you? You shouldn't be mad at all.
There's some good fights out there, so tune in. To UFC 178.
Eddie, best way to get you, obviously, on Twitter at EAlvarezFight, right?
Yeah, EAlvarezFight.
Awesome. And then one last thing, because I found this very interesting on Twitter, that you're beginning to learn Spanish. How is that process going for you?
Está bien.
Así, if you will.
I'm working on it, man. You know, I learned in high school, and growing up in the part of Philadelphia I did, a lot of people spoke Spanish, so I have an ear for it. I don't have a tongue for it, so I'm working both of them, and I feel like if I continue on the path I'm going, I think within 6 months to a year I should be pretty good.
Eddie Alvarez joining us. You can find him on Twitter at EAlvarezFight. A big fight, UFC 178 on pay-per-view this weekend as you take on Donald Cerrone. I mean this, man. I am so excited to see you in the UFC. I wish you the best. Have an awesome weekend and enjoy the rest of the media you got to do today.
Thank you, man.
And there he goes. Going to be fighting UFC 178 on pay-per-view as he takes on Donald Cowboy Cerrone. You get, of course, Mighty Mouse Johnson and Chris Carriasso. All of that happening this weekend. You can follow along to our Twitter and Facebook accounts at Wow Show. When we come back, we break down the rest of what's going on in MMA.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Abron along with Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Thank you to both Dominic Cruz and Eddie Alvarez for hanging with us for a couple minutes.
I really think he's most excited to be on the show now that he's
clearly,
in the UFC.
Clearly was most excited to be
on
the show.
I mean, this show.
Yes, right.
Not the paper. I mean, the pay-per-view's cool, too.
He did say that off-air that Embedded was all right and the countdown was cool, but this was the highlight of Media Week.
Clearly. Well, I mean, look at the pay-per-view he's on.
I don't know why you don't like
no,
this.
No, I love it. I feel bad because it's not going to do well. I know it's not. And that's not a knock on any of those dudes. I've explained that before. Even the guys on Twitter are getting it. They're not yelling at me as much anymore as they used to. Don't you get when I say that? It's not a knock on the dudes on the card. It's just I feel bad because this card's not going to sell a whole
lot. Well, what's funny is, so, you know, we obviously talked to Dominic Cruz, and he was saying how watching Demetrius Johnson after that loss to him become this flyweight champion and one of the best in the world, you could tell what he was saying without saying it is that he, too, is kind of getting tired of people dumping all over this card and saying Demetrius shouldn't headline cards. And I know that he's...
I'm not even saying he shouldn't. I said he should. He's a champion.
Right.
I said, but if you expect this card to do anything above 100,000, you might be living out there in la-la land a little bit, because he's really only come in at like 115, 140, 130, which is well below that. There used to be the benchmark that UFC would never go out and get less than like three. Maybe a 275, but usually 300,000. Guys, we're going to there's a UFC, I'm just going to buy it. I don't care what it is or who's on there, 300,000 guys. And that changed a lot with some of the guys like Johnson. It's not a knock on Johnson's fighting abilities. It can be a bit of a knock on the drawing ability. And I think Eddie Alvarez doesn't have anything to worry about, because I think he goes in there and does what we think he can do in UFC. He's going to be that guy that can headline cards, and we're not going to groan when he's in there like we groaned when Benson Henderson was in there.
Right.
Who wants to jump up, by the way.
Yeah, he wants to go to welterweight. Awesome.
Let's not cover that today.
Okay.
Let's do that a different day.
We don't have much time to cover all of that stuff. But you do have Demetrius Johnson and Chris Carriasso. That is the main event. I'm really excited about the undercard being Donald Cerrone, Eddie Alvarez. I think that's going to be an awesome fight. As I talk to Eddie Alvarez, I really think the wrestling will be interesting. The nod to knocking out, I think, goes to Eddie Alvarez. Submissions go to Donald Cerrone. But the takedown thing is what I'm fascinated with. According to Fight Metric, Alvarez has a 56% takedown rate. Cerrone only been taken down four times in his UFC career.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily think, and this is a great test, too. I mean, we get a really good fight for Eddie Alvarez to start. And this is a fight where he gets a great win over Donald Cerrone. You can throw him right in that title picture. No question. Right?
Yeah, unless you're...
what's your question?
Well, no, unless you're Nurmagomedov, who's like, what do I got to do? I'm like 77-0.
Wrestle
How many people do I have to be? I wrestled a bear when
I was a
child.
Oh, I was
going to
say wrestle a bear.
Totally did that
already.
Yeah,
but you know what? That bear, that was early in your career. We don't know how tough the bear was. You got to put him in the conversation. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I know Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. This is going to be a great card. For guys a little bit above that casual fan.
I'm so excited about the...
What I would love to see is if this card were sitting on a Chris Weidman card or a John Jones card.
Let me ask...
So we could see these dudes, and a lot of guys would be buying it to see that John Jones or Chris Weidman title fight.
But you've got... So the prelims, though, to me, are set up to get you excited for this. I mean, Howard and Ebersol, somebody's getting knocked out. Wonderboy Thompson against Patrick Cote. I think he'll finish Cote. Masvidal is on a roll. And then your lead-in is the return of Dominic Cruz against Mizugaki. I think that fight's going to be brilliant. And I think after that thing's over, I think you're going to be surprised. I'm not telling you it's going to do a million pay-per-views. That's not what I'm saying. But I think a lot of people are going to watch those four fights and be like, yeah, I'm in it for the long haul here. Here is my money.
I really would like to see a ratings correlation with buys because I think you're giving that too much credit.
I think you're a liar.
That block of time is set up in a way that you're already committing to the night if you're coming on in at 8 o'clock and deciding to go till 1. I don't think there's a lot of guys coming in at 8 and staying till 10 and going,
I have done it.
You and I have probably both done it just because we know a lot about the cards and we know that we're going to, you know, be sent screeners, so to speak, later because of what we're doing here on this show and the kind of fans we are. I don't think you're going to turn a lot of casual fans from that Fox Sports 1, right, is carrying these prelims?
Yes.
From that Fox Sports 1 card into your pay-per-view.
I'm putting you on the spot. What's our college football that night? Anybody interesting?
Not on Fox Sports 1. They don't really get the best games right now because Fox is still lining. Are you talking competition?
What would be the thing people would be watching then?
I'm not sure this weekend.
Okay.
Not sure this weekend.
Again, I'm putting you on the spot. I don't mean to
say that. No. I mean, and there's usually a big SEC game on CBS that night. Fox is competing with themselves for a little bit because they've got their Fox primetime football schedule.
Gotcha.
It's tough. It's tough. And
maybe, you know, maybe this week and talking to these guys and just getting kind of engrossed in it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm full on romantic fanboy of Conor McGregor. So, like, maybe I'm just totally blind to this, but I have not been this excited for a card in a long time, which I'm sure will curse this card. That said, I don't know. I mean, I get why you don't think a lot of people are going to be into it. But I look at this thing and I go, I cannot wait to see every single one of these. You may have my money right now.
There are going to be guys that do that, but the problem is that's not the majority of people who buy these cards. Majority of people who buy these cards for the championship fight, and they look at it and they want to see who it is. And at this point, it's Demetrius Johnson, who's been a pretty dominant champion at this point, but hasn't been that impressive of a fighter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, but if he ends Carriasso in the first 2 minutes, are you on board then finally? Like, what does this guy have to do to get a pass from guys like you?
I don't know if it's even a pass. The problem is... He went, and I'll say this too, is he went into that UFC on Fox Benavidez fight and did what we wanted him to do, essentially.
Right.
And then so he gets the pay-per-view and he does 115,000 buys against Bogatinov. And now that wasn't an ideal circumstance for that pay-per-view, but I don't know what you're going to have to do at this weight class.
No, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm literally trying to figure this out because... Dominic and I were just talking about it, and I'll bring it up again. You know, when Dominic beat Demetrius, I said to you that night, you drop down 10 pounds, Demetrius Johnson, and hand that man the belt. And that's exactly what happened, and he has been unblemished since.
Well, what you got is you had the draw, decision. He got that Moraga submission. A lot of people forget because a lot of us didn't get to the fifth round where that submission happened because that was your typical Demetrius Johnson fight at that point. So you've had... 5, 10, 15, another 5 here. You've had like 20-something rounds of the guy hopping around the cage. I'm not exaggerating. You've had 20-something rounds of the guy hopping around the cage. That's not necessarily what fight fans want. I know Dana hates me, and he's told me to pound sand because of that.
Right, and he says that with his patented hyperbole and moxie and that sort of thing. But I would ask you a very serious question. Is 2 weeks ago people are... willing to throw down $70 or $80 to watch Floyd do the exact same thing.
But Floyd...
Do the exact same thing.
Does it a couple times a year. He's got a hell of a personality. We all know that. And he's
you can play Demetrius Johnson on Xbox.
He's in when you come
on Xbox
to event marketing, the biggest sport there is. We can talk about MMA and they get to roll their numbers up because Dana's running out 12 pay-per-views a year.
Sure.
And you've got the occasional Bellator pay-per-view. You can take those total numbers and go, look, MMA's killing boxing. But once or twice a year at this point, you've still got boxing able to put on an event. Everybody's paying attention. Everybody wants to see what Floyd does. And they're doing that twice a year. And it's been building for a long time. You want to talk to me about Demetrius Johnson in 5 or 6 more years? And he's undefeated at that weight class, and he just keeps talking crap and moving up.
So he needs to turn heel is what you're saying.
Like Chael Sonnen said, that side of the pool is empty. There's nobody swimming over there. If somebody would just go in, they would be the best heel in the organization at this point. John Jones is the only guy swimming over there, and he keeps trying to come back to the other side. Because he doesn't want people to not like him. They just sort of don't because they shouldn't. Because he's kind of like that. Why would I? I mean, you got like Apple, the commission. They love Cormier.
Right.
Hey, we're all laughing.
Everybody
we're all
loves
fun.
Cormier, right?
Really, John, come on. What are you doing out there,
you
John?
You shut your mouth, John. Why can't you be a
tweet about this and delete it again? Come on.
I follow your Instagram account.
We know what you do.
A couple other things to talk about this past weekend. Big fights in Japan as Mark Hunt does the unthinkable and KOs Roy Nelson.
Oh, yeah, that was last week at this
Rockets
point.
Rockets himself up only one spot to number 5 because it's really jammed up above him. But puts together what he wants.
Ready for that title shot.
He is not ready for the title shot. He would like a rematch with Josh Barnett, which I love that idea.
Okay, good. Good. We don't have to argue about that.
Love that idea.
That this week.
Miles Jury knocks out Takanori Gomi in round number 1.
Ooh, wow.
Right? And so there are a lot of people that could look at his resume and be like, you need to fight somebody in their prime. And I don't disagree. But it's time. Let's find somebody in the top 5.
Who are we talking about?
Anybody in the top 5
Miles
or 6.
Jury?
Miles Jury.
Okay.
Needs to fight somebody in the top 5 or 6, like, right meow.
Okay. I'm down with that.
And I think that'll be the test because you look at his resume and you're like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, whatever. He doesn't beat the top guy. Well, he hasn't had a chance to go against the top guy.
So who do you
right?
want to see him in there against? Pick somebody. You and your friends have that list together.
So, you know, most of the top 5 are locked up. Rafael Dos Anjos is locked up. Bobby Green isn't a name.
I think every week on the show we show how hard a job Joe Silva actually
has.
Well,
I mean, because Bobby Green isn't really a name, and he's already got a dance partner, so I don't know.
You just want to see a step-up fight for him
He
at
needs
some point.
To step up, and maybe that's the Benson Henderson fight. Maybe that's Henderson's last fight, and Miles can do us all a favor and send him to welterweight with a loss.
Oh, man. I didn't want to talk about that. Okay. I'm not taking anything away from Miles Jury, but how do you lose to Miles Jury and then go up a weight class?
Here's how. Because Pettis beat you, Dos Anjos beat you.
We don't usually chase people up and out. Like, what's he going to do there at this point?
Well, I mean, it's not like, yes. So to be
what
fair,
does he think he's going to gain? He's not one of those dudes that seems unnaturally big for the weight class.
You don't think that he'll do really well against Hector Lombard?
I think that. We'll talk about this.
So anyway, Miles Jury
how
needs,
big that mistake
he,
is
he need,
soon.
He needs a test, and we will hopefully see that very, very soon.
I wouldn't mind that, but I think whoever Benson fights is I don't even know. I don't even know what is, I don't understand this whole thing with Benson. One more fight, and then just leave. I don't want to be that guy, but just leave the division because you're saying one more fight, which means somebody's going to get super amped up to send you off with a loss.
Yep. Well, and you've got Nate Diaz is back. He's, like I said, fighting Rafael Dos Anjos.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I don't know what you do with Miles Jury because everybody else has a fight that is where he needs to fight. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't mind that fight either. Maybe they think it's a chance to give Benson a win over a guy who's at least got some wins behind him. Because if he's going to move up, has Dana said anything on this? I feel like this is one of those things where Dana's going to hear it and go,
not yet.
He's not going anywhere. He's out of his mind.
Right. Well, I think Dana's busy trying to chase around Conor McGregor. Because I don't know if you watched any of the embeds, but it's so crazy that it's Dana White hanging out with Conor McGregor like all week. It's not nearly as bad as they wake up in the same bed and like make sure that everybody's on the Conor McGregor.
Right.
Train, but it's pretty close. So he's busy, I think, getting ready for UFC 178. And after
I don't know, Connor, do you want to be the eggs in the basket guy? Because those guys aren't doing too well. What do we got? Chris Weidman's hand broken?
Speaking of eggs in the basket, yes, Chris Weidman has broken his hand in training. So his fight is off. Vitor Belfort is off of that card, but fear not. They replaced it with what I think most people are super excited about, which is Donnie Hendricks and Robbie Lawler taking their place as the main event.
No, I'm kidding.
Really?
I'm excited about that. I'm a little bummed out they didn't use this as an opportunity, because we've been saying this. I would love to see Vitor have one more fight before this championship fight. And I'm a little bummed that we didn't get to see this be the Jacare fight.
Jacare in there. Oh,
let Jacare fight him. Let Jacare do it.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
But that goes against everything I argued about with the heavyweights, where you save up the guys for their title fights.
Man, that would have been awesome.
I think it would have too. I'm very interested to know whether or not they pushed hard for a replacement or just really want this Weidman Belfort fight to happen.
They've re-signed it for February. So.
No, I know. I know that, but I'm wondering how hard they pushed to actually get Belfort in there.
Did you see Jacare?
No.
As soon as it happened, and then they replaced Hendricks and Lawler as the main event, and then moved it to February. Jacare's back out going, still plan B. I'm still plan B.
Still, like,
I'm ready. February might be my favorite month. I'm totally ready for this.
Shortest month.
It's the short. I love Groundhogs, so call me, because I will be there.
This is going to be interesting.
It's going to be awesome.
I thought we almost had your plan played out. Where you were talking about Jacare, hey, just stay healthy. You never know.
You do never know.
The way these guys go.
Well, because you do never know, are they really going to bounce Belfort too, right? Because you had gotten this far, got him licensed, got him ready for this fight.
Do we have him licensed? That was my big question about this whole thing, too.
Well, you have to, right?
Well, no, you'll have to. And the fight was...
No, I know he has to have a license to fight.
That's one thing I took away from the very in-depth coverage of the NAC proceedings. Somebody's got to be licensed.
Somebody has to have a
license.
I think he got
his conditional back in July, so I think he's set to go. I don't know if they had done any tests yet, though, in preparation for that fight. So that's more what I'm wondering about, because that's what everybody's wondering about.
Of course they are. And then one more big news is Joe Riggs is officially back after shooting himself.
Oh, my God.
He will fight Ben Saunders.
Literally
shooting himself. In a way that I still can't understand. He will fight Fox 13 on December 13 in Phoenix. I will believe that card.
That's a lot of 13s for a guy with that kind of luck.
That card, well played. That card is going to be headlined by Cub Swanson and Frankie Edgar.
Hmm.
So two big fights named this week. Joe Riggs, glad to see him back.
Is that an open carry state? Were there?
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Clearly he's having problems with
Joe Riggs.
With opening and or closing carry. So those are all going on. You can keep track of all of the results this weekend if you are somebody like Ken Evans, who will not be watching the event.
I didn't say that.
And will be,
said it's not going to sell a lot. That doesn't mean I'm down on the event.
We'll be sitting out.
Just realistic.
You're more than welcome to come over to my house because I'm super excited for it.
120,000. That's my prediction.
121,000 because I'm going to watch it. So come over.
You're buying 1,000 of them.
Yes, all of them.
Your math lines up perfectly with the math that puts Demetrius Johnson into the headline slot of a UFC card.
See what I did there? Okay, follow along at WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. We will catch you next week.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.